Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up and welcome to the Out of Spec podcast. I am Jordan. I'm joined by our friend Brandon over at TeslaFlex, and we have a lot of Tesla updates, including a literal Tesla update, and we're going to get into everything within that update, plus maybe a lead on Ludacris at the end. Stay tuned. Let's get into it.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for Out of Spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
So it's been quite a week for Tesla. I mean, there's been an unfortunate amount of layoffs, some Cybertruck potential halt of production, a lot of people spotting Cybertrucks everywhere, which is nothing new. It seems like all the Facebook pages I'm seeing are full of Cybertruck spottings. I think they're just going to become much more normal here pretty soon. But today, as in literally just a few minutes ago, Tesla dropped a post on X, which seems to be kind of their official way of saying, here's what's happening. And it's basically started with, your Tesla gets better while you sleep. I wish I did. Anyways, we have a lot of highlights from their upcoming spring release. Brandon, do you know when that actually drops? Or is it just like, hey, this is coming?
If I had to guess, I would say it's probably sometime later this week, maybe this weekend, same day the Ludacris might come out. That would make the most sense, at least. Because they usually announce stuff and let it marinate.
Yeah, drop it all at once. And for our visual watchers, we do have some screen sharing here, just basically Tesla's tweet as we kind of dissect this. But I guess visual updates, basically talking about UI/UX, mostly with Model 3 and Y with the AMD chips. Got some immersive full screen vehicle controls when parked, kind of like Cybertruck, right? I mean, is that kind of the point?
Cybertruck. I think this is actually just V12. This whole update, I think, is just V12, but they're not saying it.
Okay.
It's like every feature in V12.
Yeah. Larger playback controls, quick access to recents, favorites, up and next in media player, which is nice. It's just constant little updates and improvements, which is huge. I mean, it's already wild. We spend so much time with other cars here as well without a spec, and it's crazy to see how some manufacturers have not caught up with Tesla, and meanwhile Tesla just keeps stepping ahead. Now sometimes Tesla updates happen and we feel like it's a detractor in some way. It's like, come on, why would you mess that up? Notably, they're like font changes like 2 years ago is what I think of. But with this, it's actually a lot of interesting things, things I loved about the Cybertruck UI. I think it's one of the best out there, and they seem to be improving it. Now, beyond that, there's also the expandable autopilot driving visualizations with a smaller map in the right top right for trip guidance. I love this, and I feel like someone mentioned, maybe it was you, someone mentioned this was like their one of their top requested feature changes, and I guess there it is.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at this right now, it looks like I'm just looking at the Cybertruck, except there's a Model Y there instead. It's like all the same UI, so it's cool that they're actually bringing this over.
It'd be so funny if they kept the Easter egg where you like triple tap on the glass and it shatters and plays the Cybertruck thing. Yeah. If anyone hasn't tried that, definitely give that a go. And then there's the auto shift beta, which actually brief pause, like what do you think of the auto shift beta, Brandon? Do you think it's decent or are you it's like dumb?
I mean, I've used it, I guess, since I use it on the Model S and the Model X and the Model 3 and I've never had any issues with it. There's like probably a handful of times when I've had to like override it and say, no, you're not going forward, you're going in reverse. But that's like very rare. So, I mean, I've never really had any issues with it. It feels more convenient. It's just you really have to get used to it because people get used to pressing on a stalk or, you know, turning a knob or shifting. It's different. It's easier, but it takes some time to get used to. But it looks like this is just a huge improvement on it.
Yeah, it's notably less fast as the like stock Model 3 or Model S. Like that's just so quick and we're used to just flopping the stock into which direction we want to go. You don't have to be like fully stopped at that point. With some other cars, it's kind of annoying that they have to, including the Kia EV9. That's one of my biggest frustrations with it. But this is, I guess you can also shift between drive and reverse instead of just park. Which hopefully that works well. And like, yeah, I think I can agree with you. It's mostly been fine, but there are plenty of edge cases where it's like, it didn't know which direction I was going to go. And to be fair, my surroundings also didn't, it wasn't obvious. Like it was like sometimes just like parallel parking. So yeah, but that's within the vehicle settings. So definitely let us know what you think of the auto shift. It's still in beta, clearly, which a lot of things are. And in a lot of ways, we're just all beta testers for Tesla, but also it's a lot of bleeding edge stuff, so maybe we're all fine with it. I don't know. Let us know in the comments what you think of this auto shift situation. Then we have Audible as a native media app, which if you don't know, Audible is, you know, books from, I guess, Amazon. Is it an Amazon company?
Yeah.
So you can now have audiobooks as a native app, which you could have used Bluetooth before. And Tesla's Bluetooth codec is actually a really good one. It's like higher quality than many other cars. So it's fine to do Bluetooth, but it is nice to have it as a native app. Spotify queue and playback speed, which is cool. Playback speed, you're like, why would you use that? If you listen to podcasts through Spotify, that's when you probably want to up the playback speed. Especially, you know, like the batteries included podcast. I throw that sucker on 1.5x and just keep going. Hands-free trunk, Model S and X 2021 and later, plus the upgraded Model 3 gets this. So I guess if you stand still behind the trunk with the phone key, the trunk will open on its own. This is done within vehicles and locks. Do you see this working fine or do you see this as a bit gimmicky?
I think when I first saw this, I was like, how are they going to be able to know where you are with the car? But then I remembered that Refresh S and X and the new Model 3, they all have ultra wide band and they even have, I mean, I have a notification on my phone. I probably can find it right now and show for Kyle's Model S to say, do this to improve, to enhance the phone key. I can get that to show. Do this to enhance the phone key, basically. So it kind of allows you to be, I guess, a more accurate phone key. I mean, I've heard people with Model X are having way easier time getting inside the door because they actually open at the right time. So I think this could work pretty well. I think it might not be that great to start, but obviously it's Tesla, so it will get better over time.
Yeah, I wonder what false positives we're going to see with someone just like standing. If you're too far to the side or if you're just like standing behind your car for a second, like installing a license plate, I don't know, and the trunk just keeps opening. Like, I wonder. We should put this to the test, obviously. Like, just
where you find like put all your in and out on the trunk lid, and then you just stand there too long,
and and then you can do one of your cleaning, you know, Kool-Aid off your car. I would love to see how good or terrible this is, and hopefully, I mean, they get it worked out and. This doesn't say beta, but even things that don't say beta, we still kind of are beta testing for Tesla, whether you like it or not. They just throw features out and we try them. And honestly, I like that approach. I think it's a lot of fun. Obviously, it gives Brandon content opportunities galore. Yeah. So we should see how accurate this is. I kind of wish they would do like the, you know, they have a camera behind the car. So like they could tell whether you do the like stand on one leg and then swipe with the other leg like every other car does. It would be interesting if they eventually implemented that, but maybe not. Maybe that's just useless.
Maybe that's also how they kind of detect they're actually back there too.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how accurate it is. Now, this next one is fantastic. A preview of Sentry Mode recordings within select countries. I don't actually know which countries yet, but if it shows a brief preview of Sentry Mode recording, if an alarm is triggered by pressing and holding a notification, they're taking notes straight from the good doorbells out there, the smart doorbells. Every time I have someone either walk up on my porch or ring my doorbell, my phone's like, hey, do you want to see this preview of what's happening? It's brilliant. And honestly, it makes complete sense. So glad to see this. Do you have any other thoughts? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
That's really cool, actually. I mean, that changes a lot of things because you've always seen that. And you're like, you kind of worry, oh, is my car like actually getting broken into? But sometimes it's just like a really big gust of wind or like something that's not even, it's just like a false trigger. So it's great that you can actually see this and not have to run your car immediately.
Exactly. I don't know why this wasn't there before, but it's just funny. Like the video example they're giving is just like some very suspicious character in a gray hoodie, which could be Kyle because that's all he wears. Although I don't think I've ever seen Kyle with his hood up. So that's how you know. Increased regenerative braking on the highway. This is for Model S and X 2021 and later. So I guess not Model 3, but we can test this with
Kyle's car. Maybe a motor thing, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. So at high speeds, your vehicle will now regen more. I'd love to test and see what the kilowatt regenerate, the recuperation is, because it's saying more energy can now return to the battery. So it's not just like more slowing down for your sake. It's actually capturing a bit more energy. Curious to see if that has any noticeable effect on range or if it's like, I mean, some cars have these like little efficiency things where it's like, okay, it's going to get you a few hundred feet extra across this range of the whole battery. Yeah, curious to try that, see if it like lurches you forward. I mean, they could really dial it up if they wanted to, I'm assuming. Are we there yet? So this is a funny title for this section because, I don't know, notably in sitcoms or movies or whatever, there's like the kids in the backseat yelling, are we there yet? So now rear passengers can see trip details on the screen, which is really cool, honestly, and time and temperature and stuff. So rear screen improvements, this makes sense. It's honestly a pretty good screen, so they may as well add more functionality. I felt like it was kind of dumbed down when it was first revealed and launched, but it does make sense to limit some things, especially if you have kids back there. Now, I think you can still, you could probably like throw the trip details and still keep the screen locked so the kids can't do anything. It might just be informational. But hey, that's cool. Teach your kids how to read and count by road tripping and giving them all your road trip data. You know, if Kyle ever has kids, he's going to be like, all right, now what's wrong with this charging curve at this point in time? And show charging curve. Like, I wish they could have a lot more customization of what the rear screen would show, because that'd be funny. Even if Kyle's doing a cannonball and he was sitting in the back, he'd want to see all the nerdy details anyways.
Yeah, but that is really nice for doing a cannonball. Someone's in the back, they can actually see the screen. They'll have to like lean up or like look at it.
That's true. Yeah. Instead of like, yeah. So it's fine. Yeah. Any more thoughts on these major improvements? I do want to get everyone's input in the comments below because this is all kind of hot off the press and we haven't even had that much time to fully digest it. We're kind of digesting it in real time. So curious what everyone thinks about all of those.
Well, and there actually is Cybertruck stuff too.
Oh, let's jump into that. Yeah, instead of tweeting from Tesla, we have it from at Cybertruck, which is hilarious also. And so I'm sharing this on the screen. So Cybertruck, power sharing from vehicle to home. This is, I mean, this was a huge feature they showed when they unveiled the final production Cybertruck and everyone was like, oh, cool. So I guess that's finally happening. You do need universal wall connector and power share gateway. How hard is it to acquire those, I guess?
That's kind of part of the foundation series, at least. So there are something most people that are getting it right now are either figuring that out, like in the process, already have it.
Yep. There's also wrapping your digital Cybertruck to match your wrap in real life. So the colorizer, which is available on the other vehicles, is finally now on the Cybertruck, which is cool and makes perfect sense. Yep. I feel like 1/4 of the Cybertrucks I see on Twitter or elsewhere seem to be wrapped now. So this makes sense. Now, our friend at F the Pump, he notably has a dual color ombre wrap. I don't think they have that option in here yet, but that would be funny if they added even more capabilities with the wrapping.
Yeah, they're going to do that because my Model Y is like multiple colors all over and all I get is purple.
I know. If they could add that, I mean, I'm sure they could.
They just have to get the coding from the wrap people, but that's it.
Yeah, because even wrap sites have the like rendering and it renders it perfectly. So new horn and lock sounds, lock and unlock your Cybertruck to try them out. So I guess we'll just try this. Hopefully Kyle's truck, you know, as soon as it gets this update, we're going to be testing everything, of course, and you'll see lots of content from us and Brandon. Cabin overheat protection. This has been a widely requested feature. It seems like also a huge lump of tweets I've seen lately is like, oh, why don't you have this?
But also, like, I don't even use cabin overheat protection because it doesn't do anything for the car. It just wastes energy. It's really only meant if there's people inside. So, like, well, there's no one inside my car. Why am I going to let the fan run for 12 hours in the sun?
Yep, exactly. So it can, I guess, benefit the battery and some of the components if it's, like, absolutely necessary. But honestly, it's I guess it's been widely requested, but also not crucial, I would say.
Yeah, I think some people are just really used to having it.
Yeah. Turning circle is now improved by 1.6 feet. Do you know what it was before?
I don't know, but I guess I have some. Me and Colton, I was driving the Cybertruck in like some circles, so I don't know. We should like measure that somehow to kind of see like before the update and after the update.
Well, I know Sawyer Merritt actually tweeted about this as well, and he mentioned, or maybe it was him or someone mentioned, it was a 3.8% improvement. So there's the math in front of you.
Yeah.
But making parking and low speed maneuvers even easier. Notably, it's already fairly easy to do some of these maneuvers, but now it's improved, which I guess the only way to really improve it, in my opinion, is to improve the angle of the rear steer. So that may also be improved. I don't know what degrees that is making it now or if that's measurable. Obviously, we can try to measure that as soon as we can, as soon as this update is installed. But nice to see. And it is, like you said, funny that this is all shared from the Cybertruck account, not the Tesla account. I don't understand the full separation there. At least the Cybertruck account shows the Tesla one right below it. So
yeah, they just like quote tweeted themselves.
Makes sense.
They just switched accounts real quick.
Yeah. So I don't know. What are your additional thoughts, I guess, across all these updates, Brandon?
I mean, I didn't even expect any of this. Like, I didn't really hear any rumors of a huge update coming, but it looks like this is honestly just kind of part two to what they should have had in the winter, when I think they focused more on full self-driving and less on like usable features. So it's definitely good to see like all these improvements, especially for like the Cybertruck and the Model S and X. But it's also kind of worrying. Like, if you go back to the main tweet where it says like AMD only for the visualizations for the 3 and Y, I think we're starting to see the divide between Intel and AMD. Kind of like how it was with the early days of Model S when they had the older infotainment computer and they couldn't run anything. Eventually, Tesla's going to have to start working on retrofits or offering a retrofit, because like it sucks. I mean, it would suck to get a car with an Intel chip. Like, you're just buying it and you're seeing all these new features come out and they don't work on your car.
Yeah, and we've even seen some of that in the tech industry, and notably Tesla is tech products. I mean, we've seen a lot of things with the Apple Macs, for example. They've gone to their full M set of chips instead of the Intel chips. And so it's like they're leaving the Intel people behind. Obviously, with those, there is no retrofit option. It's just like, oh, you want some of these new updates? You have to buy a M1 or to M2 or M3 chip. Same with phones. There's eventually a phase out period sometimes where they only support them for so long. That is a lot of people's leading questions with these cars. You know, the cars are becoming so computer focused. Oh, by the way, it also has four wheels, so it's like mostly a computer. So that is a concern for some people, and this highlights that concern. Do you know, like, by default, what like era, like what age the AMD chip is, or is that kind of all over the place?
Yes, I also know way too much about that.
Great.
the refreshed Model 3, or like, no, the 2021 Model 3, they got that at the end of 2021. Same, and then the Model Y got it around the same time, like October, November 2021. And then the S and X had that from June 2021. So none of the refresh S and X they all have the Ryzen, and only certain 3 and Y have a Ryzen after. I mean, like, I'd say the majority of 3 and Y on the road right now in the US have the AMD Ryzen.
Got it. Okay, well, at least it's most people, but it is like, okay, what about the ones that bought it before? Or notably, we have a lot of fantastic used prices making waves in the news. Like, oh my gosh, this Model 3 is only 16, 17 grand, but it's probably an older one. So, okay, if you're buying a used car, you know, obviously if you buy a new car, you can expect support from the manufacturer for a while. But notably, obviously, Roadster owners were kind of left out to dry fairly long ago. Fortunately, there's a lot of passionate people who kind of keep them running. But Yeah, it's a bit scary to think of buying a used car. How you're getting a good deal, but just like buying an old Model S and old Model X at this point, you know, what is your future of updates, which is one of the quote unquote selling points of these cars.
Yeah, and that's it's like the Model 3 is anything before 2021 is now technically a legacy Model 3. I would say anything before, because like now you can really start to see it, like when. With just the visualizations, they've completely, like, they're way choppier in the older Model 3s compared to the newer ones. So it's just, for me, like, I would be kind of annoyed if, like, they're adding all this new stuff and it doesn't work on my car. And it's my car, like, my infotainment literally can't keep up with everything they're putting inside. Like, they're adding so much stuff. At what point can the car not handle that?
Is there official terminology for prior products like that, legacy? Because I always thought it was funny.
I think it's like made up, but it started with the Model S and X. They were just calling the legacy Model S and Model X. So now, like, Model 3 with chrome trim is legacy to me.
Yeah. Because when I worked for Apple, we had, you know, people come in with our computers, not necessarily that old, but I think it was like after 5 years in our system, it would say vintage. And so they're like, what do you mean this is vintage? And I was like, I that's what Apple calls it. Not my fault. So at least they're not using that terminology, because that would be, hilarious. So vintage. So all these updates with those cars. And then, of course, the Cybertruck updates. It's a smaller list, but honestly, the Cybertruck already had some of these things that we are now excited to see the Model 3, S, X, whatever, come out with. Cybertruck continues to get updates, notably. Brandon, you have a order for a Model 3, which has been delayed a few times, frustratingly. Is there an eventually like an update to the Cybertruck that would just like change your mind? You're like, know what? I need that. Or are you fine just like borrowing our Cybertruck and having your Model 3?
The update for me would be the $20,000 price cut and the tax credit eligibility.
That's valid.
Yeah, because I don't, like, I already dealt with this with the Model S, and thankfully, and a double-edged sword when it broke, it saved me, but also like kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to, you know, sell a Model S at a huge loss, so it was nice. But with the Cybertruck, like, I know, like, I won't be able to get that amount of content out of it to be able to have it like pay for itself. So I won't buy one right now. I just think it's really cool, great for videos and really polarizing. Gets a lot of attention, but I think it would take a lot for me to have to buy one right now, especially when it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The Model 3 does.
And it looks fantastic. I can't wait for you to get it. It's just, when will that happen? I mean, you've had how many delays now?
Well, I honestly don't even know the number anymore. It was like January to February. And I was like, there's no way. Cause I ordered on January 9th, like a few minutes after they even announced it. And I was like, okay, this should be quick. It said January to February. I was happy. I was like, okay, started planning stuff out. And then it was like, okay, like early February to like early March. I was like, okay, like that's more reasonable. And then it was like, okay, at the end of February to the end of March. And I was like,
yeah,
maybe that. And then it was like mid-March to mid-April. And then it was like mid-April to May. Now it's June 29th to 30th. So I'm not getting the long range anymore because of that. But
yeah,
I'm hoping Ludacris is around the same time, because at that point it's going to be over 5 months of waiting for a car. That's like 2020 level.
Yeah. What's going to happen first? Will you get your car, or will Kyle get his Mercedes B-Class here in Colorado? I don't know. It's up in the air. Nice. Well, speaking of Ludacris, we did want to tease something which is also kind of being teased. I mean, we don't know anything for sure yet. There's just some reports of, you know, Ludacris spotting, like in Shanghai, for example, which we kind of expect. I mean, like we said, it's around the corner. So it's just like, this is usually when the quote unquote leaks kind of flow in, whether it's internal or just like naturally, we're going to start seeing things kind of like Rivian R2 before that launch. It was like, oh, we're seeing some prototypes around. And it's funny because people probably saw more prototypes than they realized. They just didn't know because it looked so similar to R1. And from a long ways away, you're like, it could just be R1S. But yeah, same with Ludacris. There could be some that we didn't even notice because they were dressed up like the long range one, which we've already seen now for a long time. And you've already done some filming with it. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts on Ludacris before we wrap up the show?
I just really hope. I feel like a conspiracy theorist with all this. Like, they didn't even tell us there was a foundation series for the Cybertruck when they started delivering the Cybertrucks at the event. They had to find that out in the code. Like, they didn't say anything until like a week after. And they're like, oh, by the way, the Cybertruck is a foundation series right now. It was weird.
Yeah.
But but the Ludacris, I'm excited to see like the actual specs. I've seen so many leaks, but it's just hard to keep track of all of them and all the numbers and keeping it all organized. So it's going to be nice when they actually release it. And hopefully they announce a Quicksilver color too, because there's been a lot of Quicksilver model-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, not to draw us too many parallels with Apple, but it's like we starting to get to that point where we feels like we know most of the things right before it happens, kind of like Apple's iPhone events. But then there's always like a couple random like, oh, we didn't see that coming. So
yeah, they're still curious. Good at blindsiding us, which is good. I appreciate that they're good at keeping some secrets.
Yeah, we're always curious of what are the blind sightings, I guess. What are the missing features that weren't reported on, that weren't leaked? In fairness, they're pretty good at, you know, avoiding leaks for the most part, but things always happen. It's a huge company. It's in everyone's spotlight. So we'll, of course, report on that when it comes out. But in the meantime, definitely let us know what you guys all think of all these updates, what's coming. Let us know if you have any predictions, I guess. But really, yeah, we're just here to talk, here to chat, here to nerd out about Tesla. Obviously, lots more podcasts to come on other companies as well. We're not just a Tesla podcast, but obviously this week, there's a lot of Tesla in the news. Thanks for enjoying the show. And thanks, Brandon, for coming on. And we'll see you guys on another show very soon.